It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today, we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including comeback complete for new Tempe Union Board President. Ahwatukee man fulfills graveyard goal. Ahwatukee Pilates studio gets grand opening fete. Grease stars Desert Vista Junior Thespian. Tempe accepting nominations for 2025 Neighborhood Awards. Tempe Bike Club celebrates new planned bridge over the Salt River, and more. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Comeback complete for new Tempe Union Board President, by Paul Mariniak. Andre Sparaza has never hidden the fact that he's an ex-con. In a way, it makes his comeback to university grad, firefighter, and Tempe businessman remarkable. That comeback now includes president of the Tempe Union High School Governing Board, after the second-term board member was elected to the position at the board's organizational meeting on January 8th. The vote was 4-1 after new board member Nicole Gutierrez-Miller cast her first vote against Barraza. Gutierrez-Miller, who did not explain her vote, joined the other four members in electing Amanda Steele vice president. Barraza replaces Armando Montero, who served 2 years as president and took his oath of office last week to begin his second four-year term on the board. He was joined by Tempe City Councilwoman Burdetta Hodge, who officially began her third term on the governing board. After tipping his hat to Montero for his leadership, Barraza said he wanted to lay a little bit of foundation of who I am, which meant a recap of his life that he has never tried to hide, even when he was first running for the board and speaking at candidate forums. He recounted how he was a teen parent when he graduated from Marcos Deniza High School and wanted to be a Marine, but was rejected because of a hearing impediment. It was very daunting and depressing for me, not being able to serve, especially in a time of 9/11, he recalled. I went into great depressions. It was difficult. Drug use, police interactions, probation, violating probation, nothing seemed to work. And when that happens in the court system, at some point they just put you aside and say, we're done working with you. That's when Barraza hit his nadir, a 4.5-year term in prison. It also marked the beginning of his long, hard road to coming back. It was a profound experience, Barraza said. I never imagined in my whole life, with all that I was provided, that I would end up in that moment. So, you know, there's always perspective. And as a Marine, the idea is you adapt and overcome. So in my situation, I thought, okay, you're here. What can you do to make yourself better? What can you do in this moment? So my parents took out loans and helped me get into college courses, and I would have all these books, and I started teaching myself through the books and having conversations with my professors from Ohio University. They had an incarceration program. Inmates would look at my books, and they would say, man, I wish I could learn that stuff. You know, I wish I was as smart as you, and I told them, I'm not smart at all. I'm still working. Barraza said that's when he realized the school-to-prison pipeline is a real thing. What I did in that moment was I started focusing on how I can help them, so I started helping people get their GEDs. I'd say, you can come to my bunk anytime you want. There's only one thing I require, is that you show up. I will not come get you. You stop showing up, we stop working. You have to want it. So for 2 years, I was able to help people get their GEDs, and it really changed my life. I even remember in prison telling people, I'm going to run for office. I'm going to run for school board. They thought it was the funniest thing, so it's kind of great to prove people wrong. Barraza also joined a prison detail that fought fires and continued that career after he was released, joining the U.S. Forest Service. I fought wildfires in the summer and was going to college in the fall and spring, said Barraza, who earned 2 degrees in economics and math from Arizona State University in 2017 and was a student in ASU's Barrett, the Honors College. Eventually, he had his voting rights restored, ran for office, but lost. But I ran again, and I told my story to the community, and they thought it was valid enough that they would like to see me on the board. Winning that election, it was very profound for me, And really, the responsibility that we have here for our community is not lost on us, Barraza continued. He talked of the board's work, telling the audience, "It's hard to see on your end how everything gets made, but there's so much dedication among this team and our district and our teachers, our volunteers. I get to serve. I get to go to campuses. I get to know all of you. I'm very proud and very thankful for this moment, and I hope I can serve with dignity, because dignity, I think, is one of the most important things we can do as humans for each other. We need to consistently remind ourselves of each other's struggles and give each other dignity." That was Comeback Complete for new Tempe Union Board President. Our next article, Ahwatukee Man Fulfills Graveyard Goal, also by Paul Mariniak. As someone who has pursued information about the deep Scottish-Irish roots of his family tree for over a decade, Ahwatukee resident Jack Armstrong found special meaning in the slim book he received toward the end of last year from a tiny town in Ireland. His passion for learning all he can about his ancestors led him twice in the last 6 years to Ballin Mallard in Northern Ireland, where the town folk were swept up by his reverence for history and joined him in a small crusade. Their goal? Restore the final resting place of their ancestors, as well as some of those from the Armstrong clan that is part of his bloodline. They had their work cut out for them, as the booklet published by the Ballin Mallard Historical Society recounts. Closed after 300 years, in 1976, the graveyard had fallen to seed. Decades of overgrowth covered what headstones remained standing, and it was next to impossible to find some of the graves. But it was a historical gem nonetheless, and Armstrong helped fire up a months-long effort to cut back the weeds and shrubs and trees, restore the headstones to their original position, and get the names of the interred properly recorded for their descendants to find them. Though he never located any of his own ancestors' names there, Armstrong looks at his work with a deep sense of satisfaction. "It's been a fascinating journey," he told AFN last week. "It's led us to so many places. It's accomplished so much. There are so many people that are just very happy that we did what we did in the graveyard and found their loved ones and were able to record it. All this information will go on findagrave.com, and that information will start linking people," he continued. "That's what I'm hoping for. Somebody's going to link to one of the Armstrongs there, that we don't know if we're related to them or not. Armstrong knows some of his family ancestors grew up in the area. He and his wife, several years ago, spent hours photocopying birth and death records filed in Belfast, received even more records from people they've met. Many of those records are handwritten, and they're not easy to decipher," Armstrong said, adding he hasn't had enough time to fully explore them and put all the pieces together. Armstrong's journey into his family's past has led him to create a miniature museum in his Ahwatukee home, with a stunning array of photos, artifacts, and other memorabilia. His graveyard crusade began fittingly on St. Patrick's Day in 2017, when he, his wife Skye, sons Joe and John, California cousin Kevin Armstrong, and a couple others traveled to the tiny village of Ballin Mallard in Northern Ireland. Years of meticulous and relentless searches online and visits to cemeteries and other places in America and Canada had convinced him that a significant part of his ancestry was literally buried there. He had learned that his great-great-great-grandfather, Christopher Armstrong, told a minister on his deathbed that he was born in Ballin Mallard. Jack and Kevin look at the graveyard project as the first phase of our journey of discovery of where our great-great-great-grandparents are. "We didn't find them, and there are a lot of graves in that graveyard that aren't marked," Jack said. "I mean, when you look, there's all these empty spaces where there's no marker, and there are some graves that are marked literally with just a rock. So there's a lot of souls that are buried there that may never be accounted for," he continued. "The only way that we'll find them probably is through some kind of family records that will start the surface. As we get this stuff online and people start connecting the dots, I'm hopeful." But what Armstrong, the Ballin Mallard Historical Society, and a small group of other volunteers accomplished has been significant, he said. As the Society's book notes, the graveyard contains a fine group of early 18th century gravestones, with some introduced by landed gentry during the 17th century, with one bearing a coat of arms that was traced to 1666. The volunteers not only cut back vegetation that had covered some of them, they also rebuilt the wall around the cemetery, restored gravesites, and painstakingly recorded every name they found on a marker to create a digital archive that will last at least as long as the gravestones have. The Society also paid tribute to Armstrong and his cousin, noting, "For Kevin and Jack, the completion of the graveyard project is the closing of a chapter in their search for Christopher and Mary Armstrong. In the next chapter, they will regroup and start the process of reviewing documents, calling people who may have information, continue to go over DNA matches, and film more footage for the documentary that has yet to be completed," it continues. There are still many graves that are unmarked in old Magara Cross, and new methods of discovery may lead to identifying the souls buried there. Looking back on the old Magara Cross project, they both can agree it was an amazing accomplishment that has helped many people find lost family members' final resting place. As for Armstrong, he and his cousin are putting together a video documentary of the project, and though he's not sure when that will be completed, his sense of satisfaction and fulfillment likely will last a lot longer. "I feel great about what we accomplished," he said. "I mean, I have this book now that people can refer to. For many, many, many decades, people would travel to Northern Ireland and go to that cemetery and just walk out with, you know, disappointment, because they couldn't find anything. So now, every grave that is physically visible in any way is marked and recorded. So that's tremendous. And then that also already has spurred another group in another county next door to do a similar restoration on a graveyard over there. So I think that as time goes by, more and more people will recognize that we did what we did here and take initiatives themselves." That was Ahwatukee Man Fulfills Graveyard Goal. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. Ahwatukee Pilates Studio sets grand opening fete, by AFN News staff. Janie Dyer and her two daughters are holding a grand opening for their Pure Balance Pilates Studio in Ahwatukee on Sunday, making guest visits rewarding. Dyer and co-owners Katie Dyer and Lindy Ramsland are offering free half-hour sessions at Pure Balance at 3961 East Chandler Boulevard in Suite 110 from 9 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. The trio last August bought the gym, formerly called Pilates by Jean, when the previous owner decided to retire. All three women had been longtime clients, and Ramsland said back then, "When we heard that the place was going to be closing down, we just did not want that to happen. We just loved this place too much, and the instructors, they're fabulous." So they pulled their resources and went into business together, splitting up their responsibilities. Janie is CEO, Ramsland is president, and Kaylee is the marketing director, though most of her time right now is devoted to studying at Arizona Christian University, where she's a freshman on a golf scholarship. "And we want everyone in our community to be able to see how amazing Pilates is, because it's not just an amazing workout, but it's also great therapy. We have people who are pregnant come in through their whole pregnancy, people who had shoulder surgery, and they're coming because their physical therapist recommended it. We have people who are strength training, and they're just amazing athletes," Ramsland said, adding, "We have so many different types of personalities, and it's a great community. It's great for men, great for women." The grand opening gives Pure Balance newbies and those generally uninitiated in the benefits of Pilates a chance to talk to the gym's team and learn more about both. There also are some other specials and giveaways. Pure Balance has developed an array of classes and membership plans for what Ramsland calls the best workout ever. The studio is built around the core values of community, balance, and strength, noting on its website, "A balanced body leads to a balanced life. Strength is more than muscle," it adds. its resilience, vitality, and confidence in your body's abilities, and addressing both strength and balance is best done when shared with others. It states to underscore the importance of community. That was Ahwatukee Pilates Studio Gets Grand Opening Fet. Our next article, Greece Stars Desert Vista Junior Thespian, by Katie Springer. Rydell High will welcome a new leading man when Wesley Carl, a 17-year-old junior at Desert Vista High School, takes center stage as Danny Zuko in Limelight Performing Arts production of Grease. Starring the Sock Hop cast, one of three rotating casts, along with one called and the other jukebox, Wesley will help bring the beloved musical to life from January 10th through the 19th at Mesa Arts Center. For Wesley, landing the role of Danny Zuko in the iconic production was a dream come true. "I was shocked and thrilled when I found out," he said. "My parents were really happy, too, as Grease is one of their all-time favorite shows." Emma England, co-director of Grease and Limelight's artistic director, praised Wesley's performance both on and off the stage. "Wesley brings so much talent and enthusiasm to his role," she said. "He lights up the stage and really captures the charm of Danny Zuko. But more than that, he's just a great, kind person who sets an amazing example for his castmates." Set in the 1950s, Grease tells the story of Danny Zuko, the confident leader of the Burger Boys, and Sandy Dombrowski, a wholesome new girl who captures his heart during a summer romance. When Sandy unexpectedly transfers to Danny's school, their relationship is tested by high school cliques and peer pressures. The Pink Ladies, led by the bold and sarcastic Rizzo, bring their own flair to the story, offering a sharp contrast to Sandy's innocence. Meanwhile, the Burger Boys bring humor and heart to the stage. Together, these characters navigate the ups and downs of teenage life, from pep rallies and dances to moments of self-discovery and friendship, all set to the unforgettable soundtrack of the 1950s. Wesley has enjoyed the opportunity to delve into the character of Danny. "Getting into character has been the hardest part," he said. "Danny is such a product of his time, and the culture was so different from today. But the role has been a lot of fun, especially the dancing. Grease has captivated audience for decades with its timeless themes of love, friendship, and self-discovery, along with its unforgettable rock and roll soundtrack. It's a classic show that everyone knows and loves," Wesley said. "I think audiences will really love Hand Jive and Grease Lightning. They're big and high energy and so much fun to perform. This show has an incredible way of connecting with audiences no matter their age," said co-director Marie South. "For younger viewers, it's a perfect introduction to the music and style of the 50s, while those who grew up with Grease will be tapping their toes and singing along with all their favorite songs." The production comes complete with Limelight's signature flair for choreography and staging. "Our performers' dancing, vocals, and commitment to every detail create a performance that is something truly special," said South. "Every number is energized and action-packed. The audience will feel the excitement from the moment the show begins," added England. "This cast has been working incredibly hard since rehearsals began in October. They're not just putting on a performance, they're bringing the vibrant spirit of the 50s to life." Adding to the immersive experience are stunning set pieces, including a larger-than-life jukebox and the iconic red Greased Lightning car. Performers ranging from preteens to young adults make up the three casts, each contributing their unique skills while learning and growing together. England highlighted how this dynamic has shaped the musical. "This production brings together performers from different age groups, and it's been amazing to watch them collaborate," she said. "Wesley and so many of his castmates have been such great mentors to the younger kids. It's been inspiring to see how they learn from each other." Tickets for Grease start at $18.25 and are available at mesaartcenter.com by searching Grease. Group discounts are also available. That was Grease Stars Desert Vista Junior Thespian. We now go to the Tempe Newsroom. Tempe accepting nominations for 2025 Neighborhood Awards. Tempe is now accepting nominations for its 2025 Neighborhood Awards, which celebrates special people, places, and actions in the community. People can submit their nominations for a neighborhood award at tempe.gov/neighborhoodcelebration. Nominations close Wednesday, February 12th at 5 p.m. Neighborhood award possibilities may include Neighbor of the Year, Neighborhood Event of the Year, Beautiful Space, the Chuck Malpete Award, and more, a city release explained. Nominations are also being sought for significant contributions to arts and culture, sustainability, and resilience and historic preservation. In addition, one or more students will be awarded the Dolores Huerta Advocacy and Social Justice Award. Anyone can nominate, and residency in Tempe is not a requirement for nominations. Nominees must live and or work in Tempe. Mayor Corey Woods said in the release that the neighborhood awards are an opportunity to celebrate these contributions, from exceptional neighbors to events and places that make Tempe's neighborhoods special. Tempe's neighborhoods are full of inspiring stories and individuals who make our city a stronger, more connected place to live, Woods said. I invite the community to nominate a deserving neighbor or initiative and join us in April for a celebration of everything that makes Tempe unique. Honorees will be recognized and celebrated at the 2025 Neighborhood Celebration on Saturday, April 5th in the Fiesta Ramadas area at Kiwanis Park. This yearly event, hosted by the City of Tempe and sponsored by Salt River Project and Brick Road Coffee, invites the whole city for breakfast, live music, arts, crafts, games, and bonding in the park. All are invited. That was Tempe accepting nominations for 2025 Neighborhood Awards. Next up, from ABC 15, Tempe Bike Club celebrates new planned bridge over the Salt River. Continuing to invest in their Vision Zero initiative, the City of Tempe finally has funding for a long-awaited second pedestrian and bicycle bridge over the Salt River. The bridge will be placed just a quarter mile west of the McClintock Drive Bridge and complete an over 6-mile off-street loop of Tempe Town Lake. Up until now, there hasn't been any way to do a nice loop around the lake, Jack Ketchum, the president of the Tempe Bicycle Action Group, said. Tempe Bicycle Action Group organizes group rides around Tempe and advocates for safer ways for bicyclists to get around town. Ketchum says once the project is done, they can bypass the busy McClintock Road Bridge and go under Loop 202 just to get back to the path on the other side of the river. He says the bridge is a long time coming. The last time they had public meetings about this was 2018, so we're thrilled to see it's coming here now, Ketchum said. Tempe's transportation director, Eric Iverson, says it wasn't so easy to get the $25 million needed to build it. Projects like this are major capital investments. Cities can't typically do this on their own, Iverson said. Congressman Greg Stanton was able to help, securing the funding for this project from the bipartisan infrastructure bill. This will allow them to have a unique urban recreation experience, Representative Stanton said. It's great for the local folks and also will help with tourism as well. Also helping with the city's Vision Zero plan to have no deadly or serious injury crashes in Tempe. Giving people increased numbers of off-road, safe corridors to walk and bike on, Iverson said. Back on the bike path, Ketchum says they're already making big plans for when the project is complete. I want to see some of our group rides going over the bridge, Ketchum said. Just super excited to have a nice loop going around the lake. The city hopes construction can start in late 2026 or early 2027. That was Tempe Bike Club celebrates new planned bridge over the Salt River. And finally, improvement projects, business growth coming to Tempe in 2025. From more shade to affordable housing to business growth, 2025 is bringing several improvement projects to Tempe. Construction of work is underway now on Mill Avenue. The city is investing tens of millions of dollars in transportation, street, and landscaping budgets to improve walkability, put in more tree canopies, and improve electrical connections to support events and festivals. It is the first renovation of its kind on Mill Avenue in 40 years. Really welcome in that new era of downtown, Eric Iverson, transportation director, said. We have new restaurants coming in. We have a lot of great successful events that we want to continue to support and grow. And then, of course, we have new, you know, whole new residents and neighborhoods that are coming into the downtown. For residents, leaders say the city is committed to tackling the affordable housing crisis in the valley. Thanks to city, state, and federal funds, 6 housing projects are currently in the works. There's also growing business interest. Macayo's Mexican restaurant will soon open a new spot near ASU and is filling jobs with a hiring fair this week. Dutch Brothers coffee shop chain has signed a 10-year lease for a new headquarters in Tempe, and the city says they will be operating by February. Residents tell ABC 15 that any community-centric businesses are welcome, and they look forward to seeing these improvements. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.